first thank you all for being here. And also, I'd like to extend my thanks to the monastic residents and the volunteers here at CMC for always doing a great job keeping this place running and making all of this possible for us today.
欢迎，还有很感谢大家今天来这里听这个演讲，也希望借这个机会呢，感恩这里的住持这里的法师常住法师们，还有那个这边的义工菩萨们，在这里护持这个道场，让我们有这个道场可以一块修行。
So, today is the Sunday Dharma talk here at the center, and what is the Dharma? Right. So let's just start with that idea. Very simply, the Dharma is the concepts and the methods taught by the Buddha, and it is the direct realizations about the nature of ourself and existence that we come to know through the application of those concepts and methods.
那今天这里是我们每个礼拜天的这个演讲哈，讲佛法的讲座。那我们那先想一想，我们整天说佛法，佛法，佛法是什么呢？那佛法简单讲呢，可以说是佛教我们的修行的观念跟方法，还有就是通过我们的在佛法的修用利用佛法的观念跟方法所修行出来对我们自己的心的了解，这些经验都是可以说是佛法。
And it's a very powerful cycle, this practice. If we put those concepts and those methods into practice correctly, and we stick with that practice, then we get little bits of this direct insight and we can reinvest that back into the concepts and the methods. For example, maybe we're doing walking meditation. Maybe it's in a retreat. Maybe it's walking meditation from our car to the building where we work. And when we're doing this method of walking meditation, we use the concepts. We're applying the concepts of impermanence, right? The impermanence of our experience. And through this application of concepts and methods, if we stick with this, maybe we start to see directly the more subtle impermanence of our sensory experience, of the arising and falling of the thoughts. And so this allows us to use that to strengthen our understanding of what impermanence means, and to also be able to put down our attachments to sensory experience and thoughts, to put down the self a little bit, and thereby further deepen our ability to absorb our full self into the practice of walking meditation, and thus deepen that practice, cycling and feeding and deepening this practice with time.
那当我们有机会那个想一下哈，这一个想深一层，这个其实是一个很有用的这个循环哈。那我们或者举个例子看我们可以修行精行，或不论是在那个精进禅修里面的修行精行，还是我们日常生活里面可以用精行这个修行的方法，或者是从我们的车那个停车场啊，那个用精行的方法走路到我们的办公室，那我们用精行的方法，那同时间也用利用那个佛法里面教这个无常观念，通过用这个方法佛法的观念跟方法来修行，那当我们在进行的时候会发现会对这个无常有一个更维系的深层的了解，或许会了解到我们的感受，我们的觉受里面也是无常的，我们起心动念也是无常的。当我们从这里有这样子的得着的时候，对那个无常这个观念有更深的了解，那我们就可以就会觉得会更可以投入进去我们 对在精行还有修行还有对那个无常这个观念的了解，那我们就会更有办法，更知道着力点在哪里去修行这个方法跟观念。所以我们每一次用这个观念跟方法修行的时候，得着的我们都好像赚了一点那个得到的什么东西，那个了对佛法的了解可以再用在我们的下一个的修行的循环里面，就一直这样子循环下去。
So the practice is like a plant, right? If we nourish it and we water it and we tend it appropriately, it grows. It can grow and give fruit, useful fruit, benefit for our lives and for the lives of those people around us.
所以呢，我们可以想把修行呢，想象是好像是那个种植那个一个植物哈。当我们种植一个植物的时候，我们好好的培养它，浇水啦，那个用不同的方法来培养它。然后如果好好用心的培养它的话呢，我们就会得到很好的果实。
And so these concepts and these methods, and even really the direct insight that we get, as long as we feed it into this cycle to develop and grow and deepen our practice, that's like the branches and the leaves and the trunk of this great plant of our practice. So the methods, the concepts, the growing, the developing aspect of our practice, we can see that as the branches and the leaves that grow above ground, like we see a plant grow and the fruits and the flowers of our practice.
那我们可以想呢，这个我们刚才讲的那个方法啦，还有那个观念，当我们越来越对它有深入的了解的时候呢，就好像我们种植一个植物，就是这个种了越长越高的一棵树，好像那个树的树干啊，那个树枝啊，叶子啊，就越来越发达了。
But for that plant to grow, for it to grow healthily, for it to give fruits, to have beautiful flowers.It also has to have a good set of roots.
可是，这棵树如果要真正的长得好，很健康的成长的话，这个很重要的就是有它的那个根的发展是很健康、很强壮的根部。
So that brings us to the title of today's talk, which is Roots and Branches, right? Prioritizing in the practice. And if we think about roots,And we think about the function of roots in plants. Now, I'm a plant biologist, so this is kind of always on my mind to some degree. But if we think about the functions of roots in plants, they do primarily two things. They anchor the plant in place so that the plant can grow without falling over, without being blown away by the wind. And they also absorb nutrients.Right, so they make it possible for the plant to get nutrients and moisture from the soil so that the plants or the branches and the leaves and the flowers and the fruits can grow and multiply, and in that sense be useful.
那这个就是今天这个演讲的题目来处哈，讲是根与那个枝哈，那我怎么样去在修行里面知道哪一个是比重要的，怎么去安排重要的部分来进行我们的修行。那我们可以想想看，那个一棵树，一个植物的根部有什么功能因为我自己是那个研究那个植物生物学的，这个是我常常想的问题。其实我们想想看，那个植物那个根部有两个重要的功能。第一个功能呢，就是要好像要用这根部是抓住那个泥土的主要的部分，就是让这棵植物不要让风吹走了。扎根，那另外一个呢，就是这个根部就是在那个泥土里，可以让这个植物在那个泥土里面得到那个养分跟水分，才可以这棵树这棵植物才可以茂盛的生长，那个枝啊，那个叶子啊，还有果实才有办法可以生长。
So we also have to have roots in our practice, right? We also have to have roots that stabilize us on the path of our practice and don't let us get blown around by the winds of distractions, of the winds of all the other possibilities that come up in our lives that may be in conflict with the path of practice. And we also need roots that are going to allow us to absorb the nutritious lessons of the Dharma so that our practice can grow and be fruitful.
那同样呢，我们在我们的修行里面，我们也需要有这个根部，我们需要有这个根那个部分，让我们可以扎好这个那个基础，那我们不会很容易的这样给赔其他的其他的东西啊，让我们的想到其他的东西，我们就去跟着它了，就忘记了修行了。所以那个根部有这个功能，还有呢，也是根部也是让我们让我们可以吸收在修行里面所得到的那个学习的东西，让我们一直不断的吸收这些东西，让我们可以继续成长。
So what I'd like to talk about today are two of these roots.Right, two of the what I consider roots of the practice. So one root that keeps us from having our practice blown off course, and another root that allows us to fully absorb the lessons of the Dharma. And some of you may be out there already thinking, oh, what's the root? The root must be this, it must be that. There's a lot of things that could be roots, right? I mean, in the Dharma that we read or we hear spoken about, there's lots of talk about roots and branches. And this is maybe a little bit different perspective. But what I found when I thought about this topic, because I had to give this title months before I actually thought about what I would talk about, I found two basic issues that I think are really critical roots for making sure that our practice stays stable and stays effective, but not only effective in a shallow sense, but effective in allowing us to really penetrate the full depth of the Buddhist path.
那我们可以讲呢，在这个修行里面可以说有两个根部哈，有两条根，那这个就是让我们不会很容易的给不同的东西那个吹走啦，还有就是可以真正的从佛法的教导里面吸收好的养分。那我讲到这样子的时候，大家可能就会在想呢，啊，这两条根究竟是什么呢？是不是佛法里面讲的什么什么某一个教某一个观念呢、啊？是这样这些的根哈。那当然我们可以从这些方面讲可是呢这个我会采取另外一个角度来看这个问题因为其实我好几个月之前就要提供这个题目了哈，所以在那个时候我想起这个题目的时候，有从这个角度来看这个问题。那就是我希望讨论这两条根呢，就是可以让我们在修行里面呢可以一直是很稳健的那个修行，另外就是让我们的修行是很有用的。有用的意思哈，就不只是说这是很表面的说有用，而是有用的意思是让我们真正的可以深入修行的比较深入的层面的有用。
So what are these two roots? First one's commitment, and the second one is the desire to learn.
Consulting the Chinese.
Translation, consultation.
So, 那两条根是什么呢？第一条根呢，通常我们中文里面，中文这个字哈，有点不一样。中文我们通常就讲，就是我们要发愿的意思。这里的意思是说，要一直不会离开佛法， 不会离开这修行，不会放弃这个修行来啊，继续一直都会修行的这个法缘。另外一个呢，就是那个愿意有这个那个愿意不断的一直的去学习。
So what is commitment? It's giving oneself fully and singly to the practice, to the path of practice, to the entire path of practice. Last Sunday, I had a conversation with some people here over lunch, and one of the things we were talking about was the characteristics of people who excel greatly in something that they do. And we got started on this because some people had watched the Australian Open men's final and watched Nadal and Djokovic play their hearts out for about 6 hours in pain, in agony. You know, they were pulling every resource into their body and mind to make it through this, but they were so committed to being the best, to excelling at their sport, that they had that motivation to do whatever it took to succeed and to progress.
那第一个我想发愿也可以说就是不会放弃的就是有这个不会放弃这个精神哈来做这个修行的这个修行的过程。那个是什么意思呢？就是在我们的修行里面呢，我们是把我们整个身心精神全部投入进去，完全投入进去我们的修行里面的。所以就是任何层面、任何方面的修行，我们都投入进去，不会放弃，不会说这个我不做，那个我不做，只做那个，全部都是投入进去的这一种修行的态度。那为什么这个在上个礼拜天哈，我们在这里的吃午餐的时候有谈到，跟几位朋友这里谈到这个观念，这个完全投入这个观念，就是我们谈到有些人我们刚刚看的那个澳洲网球公开赛的那个决赛，这是两位男子最顶尖的选手，他们打了差不多6个小时的网球，都是很激烈的那个比赛，他们两个都很累了，都是满身都很痛了，可是两个都不愿都不会绝对不会放弃的，就算是多痛多累，他们还是继续要打，希望是成为最好世界最好的选手，好好的把这场球赛打好。这个就是我们所讲的不弃不离，不会放弃这个精神，完全投入这个精神。
Another story that came up during that conversation was apparently there's a rock climber who all the other rock climbers in the world acknowledge is the best at present, right, is the best. And so some people were interviewing him and asking him, what makes you the best? Is it your athleticism? Is it the way you plan your climbs, the intelligence? And he says, no, he says, it's very simple. He says, I'm willing to suffer more and to suffer longer than anybody else. That's commitment.
那另外一个例，另外我们谈到有一个另外一个例子呢，就是说一个攀石那个运动有一个世界公认是一个是现在世界上最好的攀石的选手。那有人在那访问他，问他，哎，你怎么样？用什么？是怎么？有什么原因让你可以成为世界上最好的攀石的选手？那是不是因为你的运动的细胞很好啊，还是你有很好的才干啊，可以让有这样子的这么好的结果？他说不是，就是我是愿意吃苦，我愿意吃苦，我比任何人都可以吃长的苦，长时间的苦，吃多的苦，就是其他人已经没有办法吃下去的苦，我还继续下去，不放弃。那所以我就现在就变成世界第一了。
So let's bring this back to the Dharma. a little more directly. And that is, if we think about the stories of all the great masters, right? And, of course, they tell most of the stories about the great masters. But every time we hear these stories about the great masters, there's always a component to their experience, to their life, that had them enduring some really extreme suffering, right? Master Xu Yun floating down a freezing river, almost starving to death, all kinds of crazy stories, right? So when we read about these great masters, the ones who really excelled the deepest in the path of practice, we also see that they were willing to endure a lot of suffering and to endure it for a long time to develop that path fully.
那当我们想想看，听到一些祖师们的故事的时候，那个一些很有修行的祖师们，我们都会我们会看到他们都有一个共同点的，就是他们是非常愿意忍受不同的困难，愿意吃苦。那么你想想看，我们大家可能都听过虚云老和尚有故事，是说虚云老和尚跌在那个河里面，那个很冷的河水里面，就是一直在河里就冲走好远了，他都可以忍受。所以就是这些祖师们，他们有他们这些修行里面的成就，都是因为他们都愿意忍受这些痛苦困难，比其他人愿意忍受的多，也比其他人愿意忍受的长时间，他们愿意吃比其他人更多的苦，更长时间的苦，所以他们有他们修行的深入修行的成就。
All right, but right now none of us are great masters. We're starting pretty close to the beginning here. So what's our level of commitment? Right? What's our level of commitment to the path? And where is it? Where are some of the places that we find ourselves challenged in our commitment to the path? Right?
那当然我们这里都不是，我们都不是什么伟大的祖师哈，我们都是刚刚开始修行的初发心的菩萨哈。那我们可以就想，那究竟我们自己算是发心啊，如果投入是有什么程度的投入呢？
Usually I think it has to do withconflict of values. We all have values that come from our upbringing, our individual upbringing. We have values that come from our cultural heritage, right? And sometimes these values match the values of the Buddhist path, our practice. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes we're forced to choose.Do we fully adapt the values of the practice and in that way open up fully that part of the practice to us? Or do we choose to stick with the values that are familiar to us, that we've carried and lived by for some time, and choose to stay in that limited path that we really already knowwhat it is, but it's not always an easy choice.
那当我们想到我们究竟有多投入，有我们投入发心的成愿的程度是什么？其实我们可以想，可以从这个角度，就是可以问我们自己，就是价值观。通常都是在我们的价值观，我们现有的价值观。跟那个修行的价值观可能有些出入，有出入或是有冲突，那我们就要问我们自己，有一些人他们本身的价值观可能已经跟修行的价值观已经蛮接近了，有些人他们以本身有的价值观跟修行的价值观出入很大，那问题就是我们是要完全接受修行的价值观， 让我们可以完全可以开放这个修行价值观，让我们可以看到应该怎么样去做，怎么去修行呢？还是我们选择，我们还是要我们还是要用我们原有的价值观。那我们价值观是从哪里来？当然是我们从小长大的社会，我们身边环境给我们的叫我们价值观呢、啊。有时或许或许我们从一直不同的文化背景长大的也有那个文化背景给我们的价值观，所以我们都有不带自己长大都有发展的一套的价值观的。那我们是不是选择我们还是要保存我们自己已经现有的价值观因为我们都是比较熟悉嘛，我们都已经很习惯了，很熟悉了是这样子呢，还是完全接受那个修行的那个价值观？这个是我们自己要考虑跟选择的。
So take for example something that we often I think mention when we talk about Buddhist practice and cultural conflicts, and that is the very individualistic and very immediate gratification that our U.S. Culture embeds in us. This is how I raised. This was the American way, right? This is how I've always pursued everything. I was brought up very individualistic. Everything was very much about what I wanted, and it was supposed to happen now.
那我们可以举个例子哈，这个说那个价值观的差异啊，那个从因为从文化不同的文化背景所产生的不同的价值观啊。那举一个例子，就是我们比较熟悉的，就是在美国土生土长的人，我好像我自己哈，就有这个因为这个文化背景就是比较重视个人主义，还有就是重视我个人想要什么，那我个人想要什么也是觉得那个文化叫我们就是我要什么就是我要得到的，我要现在就要得到的，有这样子的价值观，有这样子的想法。
In addition, there's a very strong materialist culture, right, where we identify with possessions, right? That's a very big part of our identity is the things that we own, the things that we know, right? But particularly material possessions, the quality of our house, the quality of our clothes, whether we have the newest phone, very important aspects of identity in this culture.
那另外这个文化里面的元素呢，就是物质主义哈。在这个文化里面长大的人呢，都会都会有这个方面的价值观，就是对物质方面的追求跟执着。所以呢，在这个文化里面长大的人，可能会比较把自己拥有的物质方面的东西看成是我的一部分。还有自己拥有的东西啦，物质中还有自己拥有的知识也是其中的一部分。可是通常是比较物质方面的，就是所以想到自己的房子啦、车子啦、衣服啦，或是现在的手机啦，是不是最好的啦？这些呢就会就是物质主义的元素都会。都会跟我们的都会产生我们的价值观是为什么是这样子的原因。
But these are in quite direct conflict with some principles of the Buddhist path, of the Buddhist practice. For one, the Buddhist practice, the Dharma tells us that our happiness is actually dependent on the happiness of others, right?That if we're seeking our own selfish gains at the expense of somebody else, that's not sustainable because they're also going to be trying to seek their happiness. And if our happiness has to come at their expense, they by nature won't allow that. They will continue to be moving against us, and then that will make us unhappy. So in Buddhism, our happiness is interdependent with everything else around us. It's not an individually pursued process.
那比如说就是我们可以看到这样子的价值观，这个很重视个人主义的这种价值观，就可以看到跟佛法教里面的教导的里面的价值观是有冲突的，不只是不一样，是有冲突的。那佛法里面的价值观的教我们，我们怎么样可让我们快乐呢？我们快乐是 通过把快乐带给其他人，就是让我们快乐最好的方法。那这个是跟这个个人主义的想法是非常不一样。个人主义就是我要追求我自己的快乐，如果是要让其他人不快乐，因为这样子才让我可以得到最多快乐，我们就是这样子做。 可是我们想想看，如果从这个个人主义的这个方法来看的话，我不用不择手段的去追求我自己的快乐，其他每个人都做同样的东西，这个是不能长久下去的。因为当我们追求自己的快乐，让其他人同时间会让其他人不快乐的话，那其他人不愿意一直接受啊。 那其他人也希望可以追求他们的快乐，他们追求他们的快乐方式，如果是跟我们的一样的话，他们也是通过让我们受到损害啊，让他们自己的快乐，那我们就会不快乐了，那这个是不能长久下去的。那个这个价值观是跟佛法里面的价值观非常不一样，因为佛法里面的价值观是我们不是 每个人是一个不同分开的个体，而是我们每个人，我们所有人都是互相支持、互相依赖的。那让你快乐，那我就快乐了。那个是完全不一样的价值观。
Furthermore, Buddhism tells us that we should let go of and lessen our attachment to ideas of I, me, and mine. Much less attaching these ideas of my, me, and mine to a car or a house or the clothes we wear, right? So the Buddhist principles of reducing our self-attachment, right, lessening the strength of this grabbing to a sense of identity, is in direct conflict with our maybe rather seemingly natural pursuit of material things to patch up and create and maybe even protect our sense of identity.
那还有呢，佛法里面有叫，要我们要放下对我自我的执着，所以不要对，要放下我们对这个是我的，这个是属于我的这些执着。 那不只是执着，这个是我的房子，我的车子，我的手机，就是对我这个观念，是这个属于我的这个观念，也要不要执着，要放下这个执着。这个我们就可以看到，这个佛法的价值观是跟我们比较熟悉的，我们觉得其实很自然与生俱来的这种价值观是不一样的。我们在 我们比较熟悉的价值观，在美国这里，的价值观就是，希望就是从不同的方式，或许物质方面啊的成就啊，来建设我们这个自我的身份的观念。 所以是有出入，有一些不一样的。And
as far as instant gratification goes, that's definitely not the way the Buddhist path works. Rebecca was telling me recently about a retreatant on one of the retreats she was helping Simon Child run up at DDRC, who after the retreat was talking to her and saying, you know, I've been seriously meditating for a year now and I'm really getting frustrated because that's a long time. I should be enlightened already. And he says, how long have you been practicing? And she says, about 16 or 17 years, but I'm still a beginner. And his eyes pop open, his mouth drops. A beginner, 16, 17 years? I've been practicing 18, maybe a little more. I am personally a beginner, there's no question about it. So instant gratification is far from the correct attitude if going to pursue the Buddhist path.
那还有第三个，这个就是在美国这个文化影响以下的这个价值观，就是我们都希望很快就可以得到我们希望得到的东西，我们希望追求的东西，我们希望很快可以得到。那这个就是我们这个想法习惯哈。那我想这让我想到一个故事啊，就是那个 Rebecca 她最近在那个香港道场那边帮这个 Simon Child主持一个禅修，静静禅修。那其中有一个学生，那个结束之后呢，就有在大家喝茶点的时候就说，这个学生就是说，哎呀，我就是很失望，我已经很用功的修行了一年多了，我应该是开悟了，还没有开悟哈、哦，他就觉得很失望哈、哦，那就他就问那个 Rebecca 就问他，哎。那你修行了多久了？那个 Rebecca 跟他讲，其实我只是修行了十六七年了，怎么我只是刚开始了初学的。那这个学生的眼睛啊突然凸出来，快要掉出来了。他说十六七年了，那他觉得没有不可思议了啊。其实我自己呢，有就算我是修行了十八年了，我自己不其实觉得我这绝对是刚开始的。所以这个我们就可以看到这两个价值观呢是非常的不一样的，一个就是长远性，另外一个是希望我们现在追求就希望得到了。
Now we're here in a Buddhist temple, so it seems like, well, gee, but those kind of make sense to me, so it should be easy to choose, right? Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, right? I think we have to be honest that sometimes there is a sacrifice.That we make when we choose these, and that's why sometimes it's difficult to stay on the path. Sometimes it's difficult not to be knocked off the path. When we choose these Buddhist principles over what we have been familiar with and how we have lived for decades, it's not only a challenge for us to change our habits.But it also changes the way we relate to the world. And it can change the way we relate to the people around us. Maybe suddenly our family thinks we're a little strange. Maybe our friends wonder why we don't care about these cars and phones and clothes anymore. Sometimes it can actually change the relationships that we have with people. It's not always easy. It's not always straightforward.And sacrifice free to commit to the principles of the Buddhist path.
那我们可能会觉得，哎呀，我们这里都来这个禅中心啊，应该没有问题了，很容易了。那个这个价值观就在这里，我们没有问题哈。可是其实不是这么容易的，很多时候我们要想到，就算我们是知道要选择哪一个价值观。可是里面呢蛮复杂的，也会可能会牵涉到一些牺牲，那这个牺牲可是也不是这么容易就说可以做就做得到的。那我们可以想想看，就是说我们知道我们的自己的价值观，那我们希望完全的接受佛法里面所教导所牵涉的价值观哈。那如果我们说好，我现在就要接受完全的改变，那个接受佛法里面的教导所牵涉的价值观，这个不只是要让我们改变我们的一些习惯，不只是这样子的，还是会改变还同时会改变我们跟我们四周的环境的关系，尤其是会影响到改变到我们跟我们身边最亲的人的关系，因为一个很简单的例子，那如果我们说我们接受佛法的价值观，不要 不要对那个物质这么多追求啊，这么执着。那我们家里，我们的家人突然就会觉得，哎，为什么你就对你们的车子啊，你的车子啊，你的房子啊，你的衣服啊，你的那个手提电话，为什么都不好像都不觉得不那么执着了？他们或许会觉得你突然变得很奇怪。那这个是不是很容易接受，不是很容易去面对的？所以呢，可以，我们好像在想，好像觉得很简单，选择就选择了。可是，在那个过程里面呢，是有牵涉到一些牺牲，是不容易的。
And I think as important as it is to acknowledge the challenges that we face in our commitment, it's also important that we're honest and acknowledge the fact that when we commit and to the degree that we commit to the path, we have that degree of the path and its fruits and benefits open to us. And the degree to which we choose not to hold back, we have that aspect or that degree of the path limited and blocked from us.
那在这个过程里面，这怎么做这个抉择的时候，我们就要跟很诚实的跟我们自己让我们自己要面对这个决定其实是很不容易的。那当然这个决定都是我们自己做的决定，我们每个人都可以决定我们要这个投入的程度有多深，是完全不投入，还是我现在只能投入某一个程度。那这个是没有问题的，这主要就是我们要很清清楚楚的知道，当我们这个投入的某一个程度的时候，我们有投入那个方面那个部分的话，我们就可以从那个方面得到佛法的滋润。那如果我们某一方面我们还是没有办法改变啦，还是觉得还没有成，因缘还没有成熟，没有办法在那边投入的话，我们就要很清楚，心里面很清楚，在就没有办法，没有那么容易在那一方面，就在佛法里面得到滋润，我们要很清楚的知道。
Another aspect of the practice that I find very interesting regarding this issue of commitment is the five precepts. Right, so the five precepts: not killing, not stealing, not lying, not engaging in sexual misconduct, and not taking intoxicants. And you see picking and choosing among the precepts. And Shifu's very clear. He says it's better to have some precepts than to have none, and it's better to have them and break them than not to take them. And at this temple, we allow people to choose the precepts that you can follow. But choosing the precepts shows us our level of commitment to the path of practice.
那另外一个例子呢，我们就可以看受五戒还有那个持五戒，不只是受哈，真的是持这个五戒。那我们在这里这个禅宗经这边教五戒的时候呢，会讲到每个人可以就觉得现在自己觉得可以能受能持的哪一个戒，就是五戒，就是不杀生，不邪淫，不妄语，不那个不偷盗，还有不饮酒，这个五戒里面是你觉得可以哪受持哪一个，你就可以选择的。那师父常常都会说呢，有一些戒可以破，比没有戒破更好哈。就是受几项比完全不受好，所以你觉得现在不可以全部受，没有问题，受一部分。可是我们要很清楚的知道，在我们不与完全受。不完全持，只是在里面挑选一部分来受持的时候，也是就是这个只是选择佛法原则里面的一部分来修行，只是愿意投入的一部分，不是完全投入，是一部分的投入。
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that everybody has to take the five precepts, but it's an interesting There's an interesting principle at work here regarding commitment and the reasons that it's difficult for us to make a commitment or not a commitment to the path when we run into this challenge. The most commonly not taken precept, I think, obviously, is the one not to take intoxicants, right? Not to drink alcohol in most cases. And most people who don't take this precept don't take it because they want to maintain social drinking, right? Be able to have a drink with their friends, be able to have a drink with their family. And like I say, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but the principle of not taking that precept is based off a desire to maintain a familiar sense of self-identity. It is an attachment to an idea of one's self. Whereas the Buddhist path, the real heart of the Buddhist path, is all about lessening self-attachment, lessening the attachment to our sense of identity and all of the traps that catches us in, perhaps like the need to drink socially.
那我不是说每一个人都一定要受持五戒，还是一样的，就是大家觉得应该怎么做，就现在因缘可以怎么做的怎么做。可是我想讨论这一点的时候，就是想看，通常我们大家会有些人，他最多人会选择不受持的。那条呢，就是第五项哈，不饮酒这一项。那通常的原因呢，就是呢，希望还是可以跟朋友啊或者家人啊，在有一些特别的场合里面，可以就是喝一杯酒，就是因为这里的社会里面的风俗就是。大家庆祝啦，聚首的时候都会喝酒的，就是有这个习惯，从大都也有这个每个人的各对自我的看法和身份也是跟这个习惯是有关系的。那我们就需要想，我们就可以在这方面想想看，当我们选择不受这一条戒的时候。不饮酒戒的时候，我们同时间就是选择要保持我们原有的那个价值观，我们原有的从小我们觉得是很熟悉的价值观，就是当我们跟朋友一块的时候，就喝酒啊，那个开开心啊，这个是这种习惯，这个观念。这个自我的对这个是我的自我的身份的一个部分，这个执着，我们是选择了去保持这一方面的自我执着，所以我们是很清楚的，我们是在做这一件事情，我们在选择不受这一条戒的时候，那这个是当然是跟如果是我们真正的是要完全我们真正是要投入佛法的修行的时候，投入佛法修行就是希望可以去把我们的对自我的执着放下哈。我们这里就这一点就是不要就抓把自己对自我的执着是不没有放下，选择不放下它了，要搞清楚。
So I bring this up because I think it's a pretty clear example of the principle behind the difficulty in committing to the path, wherever we find that difficulty and whenever we find that difficulty. If we look at what it is that's challenging us, why aren't we committed, why do we keep doing something else, it usually revolves around wanting to maintain a certain sense of identity. And we say that we practice the Buddhist path in order to be free, to liberate ourselves, right? But are we free if we choose a familiar way of life or an old sense of identity that conflicts with the path? If we can't not choose that, we're not free to choose that, right? But if we can put that down and practice the path and really lessen our self-attachment, We may find that there are times when we decide to do that, but we're free to choose, right? And we're doing it for a reason instead of being trapped, right? But the sense of identity, attaching to that sense of identity, is where this conflict of commitment arises.
我们希望可以很发心，可是没有办法发的那个，我们希望可以发的程度哈，我们很想，可是做不到，这有这个冲突，那是为什么呢？其实那个最根本的原因呢，其实就是我们对我们自我的身份的观念是有还有那个执着，我们执着我们已经原来有的那个自我是怎么样的，所以我们就没有办法接受这个修行里面的这个不一样的价值观，去完全投入在这个修行里面。 所以呢，当我们真正的想的时候呢，我们修行佛法就是要解脱，我们是要自由，就希望解脱哈。那当我们面对这个选择的时候，我们选择要保持我们原有的价值观，就是跟我们原有的自我的执着哈，还有选择要完全接受，是不是要一部分还是完全接受？ 佛法修行里面的价值观的时候，当我们发觉得我们没有办法不继续保持我们原有的那一套价值观，跟他一块的那些自我执着，我们就不解脱了，就不自由了，我们身不由己了，那个时候就是，所以那个。 这个就是关键里面，当我们了解的是，我们是可以问自己，为什么我们没有，我们不愿意，我是好像觉得没有办法去放下原有的那一套价值观跟自我执着。那当我们可以这样子放下原有的那个自我执着跟价值观。 可以完全接受佛法里面的那一套价值观的时候，好像这个例子，我们如果真正的完全投入的那个修行里面，当以后我们发现我们还是或许要做原来我们以前的习惯有做的东西的时候，我们的那个虽然是做那个东西，可是那个已经不是从 原有的自我执着那个角度来做这个事情了，那个是算是有点比较自由了，不是原来的那种给过去我们已经形成的那种自我价值观方式了。
What's interesting is that very often we want to commit to the Buddhist path and change, but we still can't. It's difficult. Sometimes we find ourselves sitting and thinking, you know, I hear a lot of people who practice for a long time say this, even for not very long time, say, why have I practiced for so long but I haven't changed very much? Maybe it's because we haven't changed very much, right? Sometimes we sit back and we think, this practice is going to do all the work for us. If we practice, the practice will change us. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes we practice, our perspective on ourself and life will shift, right? Sometimes we practice and suddenly we find that we're more relaxed and more open and compassionate in tough situations. But it is a path. And as a path, we have to walk the path. The path doesn't walk us. And so some aspects of this path mean that it's up to us to change in accordance with the Buddhist principles and the Buddhist path.
那我们常常会听到一些修行了蛮长时间的人或是修行的不是很久的菩萨们会讲，就是说非常想，非常希望，非常想要改变，可是好像就觉得没有办法，为了有一些人觉得，哎，我修行了这么久，好像都我都没有怎么改变的，通常是希望改善，所以没有什么改变的。那可能问题就是因为我们没有改变自己，我们没有改变自己。那可能里面有一个态度的问题啊，我们就是想，哎，我修行就好了，因为修行这个在修行里面那个修行就会改变我，会改变我的。那个就是这样子，是自然自己会发生的。那有一部分是有可能是这样子哈，当我们在修行的时候，可能我们会比较那个放松那个身心啦，就让我们可以可以从不同的角度来看我们我们自己的想法啊，我们跟其他人的关系啦，会有可能会改变一些我们自己的行为跟心态哈，有可能的。可是我们要知道，我们说修道，我们在这个道里面修行啊，在我们走一条道的时候，我们是用自己用脚走路的，不可能要想那个路自己就会自己我们站在上面的这个月楼就是自己走的啊，我们站在那边一直是不会往前走的，我们自己用脚要走的，要踏步的啊。所以我们踏步的意思，在这个修行的道上面怎么去往前，怎么样可以往前进步前进，就是我们要愿意一步一步，我们的心是愿意去投入去改变我们已经原有根深蒂固的那些习性，那些自我的执着，才是算是修道。
When we find this difficulty, one thing that we can at least rest assured of is that what the Buddhist path asks us to do leads to our peace. It leads to a sense of goodness or a gladdening of the heart. It leads to a non-egotistical self-esteem, right? Whereas we know, I think, from our past that many other options we have before us often lead to regret or maybe a sense of shame or just don't really end up being satisfying, right, for whatever reason. But the Buddhist path, what it asks us to do is all about leading us towards a peace and a joy and an openness and an ease in our lives. So at least we can trust it, and maybe that can help us choose to commit to it when that choice is difficult.
Now, 当然我们当我们在学习对佛法认识越来越多的时候，我们就会发现，经过我们自己修行哈，会慢慢发现呢，这个佛法这一套价值观开放给我们的世界，是一个让我们那个心里面会有一个平安，让我们有这个欢喜，让我们都是一个善在善法方面的发展的，让我们是越来越觉得有自信心，这个行善的人。那我们也知道，从我们过去的经验，我们当然有其他不同的方法去过我们的生活哈，不是佛法的这种的生活，我们都会从我们的经验里面发现那些不同的价值观。通常都是让我们会觉得很悔恨呢，或是很羞耻啊，或是就是很不快乐、很痛苦的一些价值观哈。那当我们有这个佛法的信心的时候，我们或许让我们这个好像很困难的 选择里面会比较没有那么困难了。我们知道就是这选我原来有那一套价值观，还是选这套佛法给我们的价值观。我们知道如果我选择佛法给我的价值观，还之后完全投入的时候，我得到的都是对我好的，都是会让我快乐，不是会让我更痛苦的。可能这样子有经验，对佛法这个信心啊，让我们比较容易可以选择佛法这一套价值观。
So why is commitment a root of the practice? Because no matter what our method is, no matter what concepts we're using, no matter what our approach to the path, that commitment is what holds us stable on the path. And the deeper those roots are, the more extensive that commitment is, the more of the lessons of the Dharma and the more of the benefits of the Dharma we'll be able to absorb.
那所以为什么这个投入这个发心啊是这个我们修行佛法里面的其中一条根。我们想想回这学讲我们刚才讲的那个根啊，这是树的一个根部，就是让我们可以扎紧在那个土泥土里面，让我们不会很容易的给风吹走，给其他生活里面的一些让我们混乱的思考啊，让我们的就是在从佛法的道上面失去方向了。所以呢，当我们的这个根，这个就是发心，这个完全投入的这个根，如果我们可以让这个根生长的越深越长，真正的是发一个很深的心，很广的心，这样那我们就没有那么容易，我们就可以在那个修行的路上面，就是可以扎稳这个根，就不会这么容易失去方向了。
So the second root that I'll talk about today is a desire to learn. Right? This sounds straightforward enough, but of course there's a twist. So I'd like to read a quote from a new book that came out called Tea Words. And it's a collection of Master Sheng Yin's talks from the 80s and 90s that were once published in, I think it was Chan Newsletter. So what he says is, the purpose of cultivation is not to seek anything, but to discover the faults in our own character and behavior. By opening ourselves to self-investigation, we hope to find out where our problems lie. And if after searching within ourselves we can see these faults and problems, this itself is the fruit of practice.
那我刚才讲呢，有两个那个修行里面有这棵树有两条根啊。第一条就是发心，那个第二条呢就是愿意学习。那我大家觉得愿意学习很简单啦，我了解啦。那可是呢，我也是不是这么简单哈？那我希望这个跟大家分享几句那个师父讲的话。这个是从那本英文书《茶语》，就是师父在80年代在那个禅那个杂志，不止杂志的那个 newsletter 里面一些发表的一些师父跟学生喝茶的时候那个一些开示哈。这位里面这位讲，我们修行的目的啊，不是要寻找或也不是要得到什么东西，而是要去发现我们的那个行为跟我们的品德里面一些的过失，那些问题。当我们真正的很开放我们的心去看，去考究我们的自我的时候，我们是希望可以找到我们自己的问题是在哪里。当我们在寻找的过程里面可以看到我们的品格跟行为里面的有什么问题跟错失的时候，这个就是我们修行的果实。
So he starts out there by saying that the cultivation is not about seeking anything, right? And this really is, I think, somewhat in line with this issue of holding or not holding to these self-identities that we carry with us. My first Dharma teacher, Kongo Roshi, at the Zen Buddhist Temple of Chicago, he was quite a lively character. And in one of his Dharma talks, he touched on this issue of seeking things in the cultivation. And he told all of us sitting out there in meditation very sternly, some of us, that we were just a bunch of busy beavers, right? And so he says, well, what do beavers do, right? Beavers spend all day building their dam, building their home, right? Taking some wood and some mud and patching it on, patching on some more wood and mud, patching on some more wood and mud, layering it nice and thick. He said, that's what you guys are out there doing. He says, you're layering on a bunch of sticks and mud, right? Layering on that new car, layering on that new house, layering on the knowledge that you think you're getting reading all those books, even layering on your identification as a Zen meditator sitting out there on the cushion, right? Is all you're doing is layering things on, seeking something from either your life or your cultivation.
那这里这句话师父这几句话，你第一个讲就是我们修行里面啊，是不是要寻求要得到什么东西的啊？这个是其实是跟我们刚才讲的蛮相应的，就是我们通常我们的文化里面的环境就是希望得到东西，这个是得到东西跟我们的那个自我的执着。 就得到什么东西就我的一部分，就执着执着执着哈。那这里是不是说我们修行是不要说要去得到什么东西的？那这个让我想起了我很多年前第一个修行日本的禅的时候的一个老师，那个康果老师哈，他有一次跟我们禅修行的时候，那个开始跟我们讲说。 我们呢，这些学生都是全部都是这些那个茫茫茫的那些 beaver， 我不知道中文是什么哈，是一个动物，它的习惯是怎么样呢？它的习惯就是整天就是去找一些树枝，那个把它拿下来，然后就是。 去找一些那个泥土，然后那个树枝，放放放放一个很整齐，然后就是把那个泥土放上去，一直泥土放上去，加这个树枝，再干一个房子，盖这个房子。这我们整套那个这个动物是整天的做这个事情。这个老师是跟我说，我们也是跟这个动物一样，整天我们的房子啦，我们的车子啦，或是我们看那个什么书得到那什么知识啦、知性啦，或者说像是我们是来这里禅修啦，得到我们想到哎呀，我现在是一个禅修的人啦，修行的人啦，这些都是好像这个动物放多一个篱笆，放一多一个树枝，就是来建设这个自我的身份、自我的执着的一个过程。 这个就是我们整天在做的事情，跟这个动物在盖这个树枝的篱笆盖的房子没有一样，没有分别，整天在做，我们是整天在做这个事情。
So usually, even when we're cultivating the path, when we're practicing, we're seeking something, we're trying to patch some wood and mud on, we're seeking a band-aid for ourselves, really, right? We're trying to find something that's going to make ourself okay, that's going to make it feel better. But Shifu has something to say about this. In the same book, a few lines down, he says, doing this is not effective. Seeking something in the cultivation is not effective. Because the self who owned those faults would still be there. Right? So instead, he says, the proper method is to decrease the importance of the self in our life until the self becomes so light that the faults naturally fall away.
那我们就可以看到哈，这个是我们整天在做的事情。 做我们得到的什么物质方面呢、啊、知识方面的东西呢，都是好像加一个泥巴加一个树枝在盖我们这个房子啊。我们做这个事情是为了什么？就是要让我们自我的感觉更良好，让我们的对自我的感觉更良好，就是整天在做这个事情。那师父在这本书这一篇文章里面讲了，这个都不是很有用的，因为我们是怎么去盖，我这个自我还有这个自我里面的这些过失那些问题还在，我们怎么样去加一个泥巴加一个什么，让我们觉得感觉也好良好一点，可是那个自我里面的根本的问题还是存在的，没有办法，没有把它根治这个问题。那师父就在这篇文章里面说，那个比较有效有用的方法呢是什么呢？是在我们的修行的过程里面，不是要得到追求什么东西，而是要慢慢把这个对自我的，我们都是对我们的自我讲看得很重要，很大，很执着它。这个修行的过程里面，就是要慢慢的把这个对我们的自我的看重的这个习惯慢慢放下，不要把那个自我看得这么重要，慢慢的把它看得没有那么重要，慢慢的这样去改变。那当我们发现，当我们真可以这样子做的时候呢，到最后我们自我还在，可是很轻很淡的时候，这个自我里面的那些过失也自然会脱落，会不见的了。这个是一个比较正确的修行的方法跟态度。
So why does Shifu say that we need to see our faults and problems? Actually, he says it's the purpose of cultivation. Why do we need to see our faults and problems if we're not going to destroy them once we've found them, or we're not going to suppress them once we've found them, or we're not going to paste them over with some new sense of self once we've found them? There's two reasons that we have to see them clearly, and we need this very strong desire to learn, to be willing to look in to see them clearly. The first reason is that if we see them clearly, then they don't have the same power to direct our character. They don't have the same power to determine what we think in the next set of thoughts, how we act, how we behave. So they lose power in the light of our mind when we see them.
那在这一篇文章里面是不是说我们怎么去修行呢？在修行过程里面，我们就是其实修行就是要去发现我们自我里面的那些缺失那些问题哈。那或我们就问，我们去发现来干什么？我们又不是说要发现我们的这些措施那些问题，要把它盖住它，又不是说要把它消灭它，也不是说要把它按住它，不要让它不要看到这些过失。我们也不是说要做什么事情要覆盖它。如果我们不是要这样子的话，我们去发现我们的过失问题是为什么？是做什么？我可以讲，可以想到有两个功能哈。第一个功能，去发现我们的我们自我的这个措施跟那个问题呢。第一个就是可以让我们对这些自我的措施跟问题看得更清楚，很清楚的了解他们。当我们可以很清楚的了解我们自己的问题跟措施的时候呢，这些措施跟问题就没那个力量就减弱了，我们这些措施跟我们的自我的问题就不会那么能够完全的来影响我们的思考跟我们的行为。
The second reason that we really have to have this desire to learn and to be willing to see all of our faults and problems is because, using Shifu's words, we cannot decrease the importance of self in our lives if we don't understand and accept the self that we are fully.
那第二个功能呢，就是我们要在修行里面过程里面去发现这个自我的过失跟问题呢，就是好像是我引用师父这里讲的一句话哈，当我们如果我们没有办法我们是如果不知道不是很清楚的知道这个自我的问题跟过失，而从而完全能够接受我们有这些过失跟问题的时候，这个我们是没有办法真正的去放下对我们自我的执着的，我们没有办法去放下我们对我们自己看的那么重要的那个的习性是没有办法去放下的。
If there are aspects of ourselves that are still hiding in the dark corners of our minds, then how can we let go of that? How can we let go of it if we're not clear about it? And this is why it's rather difficult, why we have to have a strong desire to learn, because those parts, our faults, our weaknesses, our regrets, they hide in the dark corners because we've created those dark corners for them. Usually we try to avoid, try not to look at these things. Usually we try to turn our attention to some positive memories or positive ideas about ourselves. Sometimes we even tell lies to ourselves about ourselves, right? And if nothing else works, we just distract ourselves with hobbies, TVs, games, whatever, right? And those things aren't bad in themselves, but we often use them as a distraction from some of those faults and problems that we don't want to acknowledge.
那是为什么呢？我们想想看，那如果有一些我们自我的一些问题、一些过失，我们是没有去很清楚的去发现它，很清楚的了解它的话，那我们怎么可能去把它放下呢？我们都不知道它在那边啊。这个就是为什么我说第二条经就是要很愿意。很诚恳很愿意的不断的去学习的意思，那个去不断的学习，就是要去发现，去愿意去发现，去学习究竟我们的自我里面的那个问题，那个过失究竟是什么。因为我们很多时候在我们的自我里面是有一些黑暗处哈，我们可以说黑暗是因为我们看不清楚，所以黑暗，不是说一定是什么坏的东西啊。黑暗，我们不光明，我们看不到，我们不去看，很多时候是因为我们不想看啦，不想看。我们就是如果知道在那边，可是不想看，就或许去转移我们的视线，去看我们自我里面比较我们喜欢的那一方面，去注意那一方面，就让我们就不用去看。这些自我里面我们不清楚的，我们没有去看的，我们不愿意看，或许我们撒谎，跟我们撒谎没有啦，没有再这样子啦，我们就跟我们自己撒谎，或者我们通常就是用很多不同的活动，看电视啦，看电影啦，去做其他打球啦，有很多不同的那个我们喜欢去玩的东西啦，让我们没有时间也没有机会去看我们的那个，去真正的去了解我们心里面究竟是怎么一回事。那不是说这些的活动是不好啊，可是我们是通常是利用了这些活动来避免去真正的去发现去了解我们自我的这些问题跟那个过失。
We have to remember though, we're not looking for enemies. We're not looking for something we want to destroy. And we're not looking for something we want to crush or avoid. We're not looking for something that's bad. We're just trying to learn. We're looking for ourself completely, fully, as it is.
那我们要很清楚了解，我们这里所讲的要做的，不是说要去找一个敌人哈，找一个我们是找自己有多坏啊，要把它消灭它，不是，我们不是讲这个，我们是讲的是希望那个不倦怠的很一直不放弃的啊这个心态去学习什么，学习发现这个我究竟是什么，这个我每一个角落每一方面每一个层面究竟是什么一回事，让我们可以有对这个自我有一个完完全全彻彻底底的那个很清楚的是究竟是什么一回事的这个认识。
Now fortunately Master Sheng Yin often gave us the key for finding these faults and problems within ourselves, because sometimes people say, well, how do I look? I mean, I'm not used to looking there, how do I find them? He gave us the key. He told us exactly how to find them. Whenever you feel anger, there's one somewhere close by to find. Whenever we feel defensive, then our faults are right up at the surface. It's a good time to look. If we feel irritated, if we feel angry, if we're suffering or stressful in any way, it's because some of our faulty thinking is working right then in that moment. And that's a great time to kind of look into the mind and see what those faults are. Shifu always told us, difficult circumstances and difficult people are our best opportunity to practice. And we often don't like to believe it, but it's true.
那我们怎么样去发现这个自我里面的过失那个问题呢？那我们很幸运啊，师父圣严师父都常常都会给我们这个钥匙，怎么去发现我们自我里面的一些问题，那个过失怎么发现？师父说，每一当我们生气的时候，生气那一刻，这个我们可以看，一定是一些那个心里那个那个内心里面是有一些有过失的那些想法，有问题的态度跟想法在浮现出来，才对什么事情生气，或是我们觉得有人在得罪我啦，有人对我做了什么不好的事情啦，我们很生烦恼啦，很痛苦啦，很气的时候，这一些当我们在经验到感受到这一些情绪的时候呢，就是往我们内心看的最好的时机来看，哎，再找就究竟是什么样的有问题的态度想法，让我们有这一些痛苦啊、烦恼啊，那个一些情绪浮现出来。所以师父常常说哈，在我们身边一些让我们生气啊、让我们觉得很烦呐、那些人呢、其实就是帮助我们修行的大菩萨，我们都不想听的，我们就不愿意相信，因为这我们就不想跟那些人一块嘛。是，可是事实上就是这样子，因为这些人让我们有机会看到我们那个自我的一些过失跟问题。
So why is this desire to learn a root of the practice? Because no matter what methods we use, no matter how we approach the Dharma, if we have this desire to learn, we're growing in the right soil, and we have those roots of the desire to learn that allow us to absorb the important lessons from the path. Those lessons about who we are and then how to put it down.
那为什么这个是 我们修行的里面第二条经呢，那个愿意，很愿意去学习哈，就是当我们很愿意去学习不断的学习的时候，无论是我们是用什么方法在修行，怎么样去修行，我们都是这条根都是在那个很适合的土壤里面吸收那个有用的那个营养。那个营养是什么？就是对我们自己的自我的了解越来越深，那我们对我们自我的过失问题，还有自我究竟是怎么一回事，越来越深，那个就是让我们在佛法的修行里面可以成长的一个很重要的元素。
I hope that your roots grow deep and strong.
那我愿大家的根是越长越深越长。